from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. With just four FPL game weeks remaining, should you stick with Spurs and which differentials are worth the dough? All that and more on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Well, hello, here we are again. It's Thursday. The season running is well underway, meaning hopefully over the next 40 minutes or so, we will be able to help you climb those FPL mini leagues. Kelly Summers back with you again alongside a panel of broadcaster Vicky Sparks. Hi, Vicky.
Hello.
And someone suspiciously absent while Arsenal were losing. But look, he's back now. It's pod veteran Adrian Clarke.
Hello, Kelly. Yeah, I went away last week and Arsenal suddenly got good again. I think that's a lesson for me. Go away more often.
Okay, we'll see you in the summer then. And also, it's a very warm welcome back once again to half of FPL family, Sam Bonfield.
Notice that I turn up even when Spurs are playing badly, Kelly.
I wasn't going to mention that, but we will be mentioning Spurs very shortly. Now, before we go any further, you'll have heard me say then it's Thursday. So this podcast is taking place before the final match of game week 34, Manchester United versus Chelsea. And Sam, we do actually need quite big things from Chelsea later on, don't we? Especially you with Reece James blanking after not featuring against West Ham. And you also brought in Mason Mount, a very popular transfer last week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sincerely hoping that Mason Mount as my captain is going to turn up on fire at Old Trafford this evening and put away a couple of goals, because that would be nice. And as for Reece James, well, I've got James Tarkowski sitting patiently on my bench with 7 points. So if Reece James decides he needs another night off, it's not the end of the world, but I would really like him to play. I think going into the run-in, the last thing you want is a player that is that expensive and consistently keeps missing out on game time. It's infuriating. So hopefully Chelsea back to full capacity and at full strength tonight.
Should we carry on with the podcast and pretend that all of our players scored big and they're all really happy because we all got our best game week scores of the season? That's what I'm going to do as a Mount, Havertz and Alonso owner. And talking of Marcus Alonso, the Spaniard has already got an assist and a clean sheet against West Ham. Congratulations also to those managers who had top scorer for the game week so far. Gabriel Jesus, 24 points for him against Watford. Nope, none of our panel were brave enough to go there, but we will also be talking Manchester City very shortly. The second top scorers were Andy Robertson with 15 points and James Ward-Prowse. Vicky, 2 goals, 15 points for him as well. You must be delighted to own him.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that my faith in his set piece ability has been rewarded. I was commentating at Burnley against Southampton for match of the day in game week 33, where he had a double game week. And I knew that I needed him to get 14 points that week for me to win my head to head in the league that I really care about. They lost 2-0. They were awful. And then James Ward-Prowse just went one better the week after and got 15 points. So in the end, he's done it for me. But I just love those set piece deliveries, free kicks. Of course, yes, we know how good he is from them, but corners as well. The Burnley-Southampton game, he put 2 on a plate for Romeo in the game that I was commentating on. I was absolutely furious thinking, and that's it. In the back of your mind, even as a commentator, of course you're neutral. Of course you are, but you're thinking, oh, that's an assist gone, isn't it? But yes, he did the business. Very proud of him.
Yeah, no doubles, of course, for Southampton and James Ward-Prowse, but Crystal Palace and Brentford up next. And just 6.4 million, if like Vicky, you like the look of those set pieces. Now, in terms of top scorers for the game week, Joe Linton and Bukayo Saka followed with 13 points each. Saka, Adrian, was sold by over 260,000 managers. And yes, on my wildcard, I was one of them. I should have known better. However, he is now an injury doubt.
He is, yeah. Why did everybody sell Bukayo Saka? I don't really understand. He obviously took a penalty kick, didn't he, in the Chelsea game. He's on those now. And yeah, he looked very, very clinical. He's playing brilliantly. He's had an outstanding season. And when you look at players that have had shots inside the box, he's right up there. I think he might be the highest midfielder in terms of having shots inside the box, Bukayo Saka. So yeah, he's great value. He's an excellent FPL asset. And yeah, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that he makes it for the West Ham game. He is a tough one, honestly. Certain pundits have sort of had a little pop at Bukayo for moaning about being kicked, but he is made of stern stuff, and I think he'll be available for West Ham.
I was going to say The FPL app is currently saying knock 75% chance of playing. You're Mr. Arsenal and you think he's going
to
feature.
I've got no hotline to the physio, I'm afraid. Yeah, I wish I did, because it would help my decision. But no, I just think that he'll be okay. I think it's a knock rather than a problem that should keep him out long term. And every game is huge for Arsenal. He is their best player. So they will do whatever they can, I'm sure, to get him out there on the pitch.
Yeah, and of course, he does have a double game week. Arsenal facing Leeds and Spurs in double game week 36. Keep an eye across Mikel Arteta's press conference ahead of that game against West Ham this weekend. OK, so that's where the panel are at and our thoughts on the top scorers of the game week so far. Let's take a look at our mini league. That could still change, but Krivkosti Ligamenti has climbed up to top spot after scoring 53 points so far. If you do want to join, remember the code is 1KIKS7. For now, though, for us, it's on to game week 35 and yet more double game week news to put in your diary. After much anticipation, Manchester City's fixture with Wolves has finally been given a date. Drum roll, please. It will be played on Wednesday, the 11th of May, meaning that slots in to game week 36. So both Wolves and Manchester City both now have doubles too. That means that 12 teams will play twice in double game week 36. But of course, given their form, Manchester City will surely be one of the most popular. These are their fixtures between now and the end of the season. In 35, it's Leeds away. 36, that double then is Newcastle at home and Wolves away. In 37, they travel to West Ham United. And in 38, they welcome Aston Villa. Well, Sam, this is rather exciting, isn't it? Is now the time to roll the dice with Pep Roulette?
Oh, the Pep Roulette strikes again. It's so difficult, isn't it, with Manchester City, because you really want to go at this moment, let's invest, let's go all in, three City players, nice fixtures to the end of the season, masses to play for in terms of the league title. But you just never really know what Pep is going to do. And I think with the Champions League, obviously, surrounding game week 35, that makes things a little bit more interesting in terms of what he's going to do this coming week. And I think it's this coming week that is the fear, actually, for most FPL managers. If you invest now, what does Pep do with his squad for this weekend? Does he give some key players a rest after the midweek action? Or does he just stay full strength and play through? Now, in many ways, I think you kind of have to stay full strength, Pep, because you need to win every game for the remainder of the season if you don't want Liverpool to catch you. But equally, that Manchester City bench is pretty much full strength for most other Premier League clubs. So you can see some rotation coming. I think if you want to invest in players like Edison, Cancelo, if you don't own him, Kevin De Bruyne, if you don't own him, fine, absolutely do that now. If you want to take a bit of a punt on players like Gabriel Jesus, Phil Foden, dare I say it, Riyad Mahrez, then you do it with the risk involved, knowing that they may get a benching here or there. But over the course of the next few game weeks, they could easily return huge points.
Okay, let's go through some of the players that will be garnering interest. Kevin De Bruyne, Adrian, surely he's going to be a big target, isn't he? He's in sensational form, 56 points in his last six matches. Do you feel like his starts are relatively safe?
is anyone's starts relatively safe at Manchester City? Not this weekend, because he's so important to Manchester City in Madrid. So there is a chance that he could be left out, but looking with my eyes, Kevin De Bruyne is playing as well now as I've ever seen him. He just looks absolute dynamite, doesn't he? And, you know, surging down the middle of the pitch, those through balls are absolutely on the money, game in, game out. If I could afford him, I would love to have him in there. That is the thing. It's always felt like Salah or De Bruyne. And with that in mind, it's Salah all day long, but De Bruyne is the next in line, in my opinion, for those midfield big hitters. And I do think he's going to have a stellar into the season, but I would wait this weekend personally to see whether he's rotated, because beyond the Real Madrid game, I think he has to play every single match.
I love that. Looking with my eyes. I know what you mean for that clarification. But I completely agree on De Bruyne. And in terms of who you're thinking about swapping him in and out for, because for me, I'm at the stage of the season where I'm sticking with my big hitters, which for me means sticking with Son in midfield. I just can't bring myself to risk Manchester City midfielders because of the risk of rotation. I mean, even De Bruyne against Watford, 9 points, but he came off after 56 minutes. Yes, he's done the job. He's done the job for Pep. He's done the job for FPL managers. He is starting regularly at the moment, the last 8 in a row in the Premier League. But honestly, as you say, either side of Real Madrid, rotation-wise, I think it's risky swapping a Son or a Salah right now for a Kevin De Bruyne. And that's realistically what you've got to do, isn't it? If you don't have him in your team, you've probably got one of those two and you'd have to swap those out. And let's not forget Tottenham, of course, double up in game week 36 as well. So for me, in terms of the midfield, I'm just going to stick with Son.
Would you potentially look at one of their cheaper midfielders, Sam? We've got the likes of Phil Foden, who I actually went with on a wild card. And of course, he was on the bench against Watford. Riyad Mahrez, Bernardo Silva. Do any of those take your fancy instead? Or is it, if you're going to go midfield for the double, then you should just go big? 11.9, incidentally, now for De Bruyne. He actually went up on Wednesday night.
I think for me, you can absolutely go with one of the cheaper ones. And Phil Foden has looked phenomenally good. I thought he was absolutely excellent in the Champions League this week as well. So I think he'll get good game time over the next few weeks. He's really important to the way that Pep plays and the way that Manchester City function, as is Bernardo Silva. Now, Bernardo Silva is never necessarily going to get the same level of returns that you're going to get from Kevin De Bruyne. And I don't think you can substitute Silva in for De Bruyne. However, with the budget constrictions that we all have, going for somebody like Bernardo or like Phil Foden can offer you massive potential. You do have to accept, like you did last week, Kelly, that there might be a game that you want them to play and they're just not in the squad, or they're not in the team, or they come on for a 1 point cameo. But you might then also get a huge return the week after. So in a double game week, I suspect we'll get a lot of rotation from Manchester City, because that is the way that Manchester City work. It's how they play best. So yeah, for me, I think you can still absolutely invest in the cheaper options. KDB if you can afford, 100%, but otherwise going with one of the cheaper guys.
Yeah, Sam mentioned earlier Edison and Cancelo. I think they're the safest picks, yeah, for sure. I mean, Edison will play. Cancelo, I think, is almost certain to be nailed on to play, because they've got issues, haven't they, at fullback at the moment, Manchester City. So they're the consistent performers. I've got Cancelo. Can't quite get to Edison, unfortunately, with my budget, but he is the third best performing goalkeeper in FPL this season, Edison. So he and I can't, you look at their fixtures, you can see a number of clean sheets, can't you? I think they've had so many this season, City, particularly actually away from home. I think against Leeds at the weekend, I would fancy them strongly to win with a clean sheet. So yeah, defenders is the safe bet.
I feel like we should be apologising at this point. It's taken us this long to mention Gabriel Jesus. 4 goals and 1 assist last weekend. 8.5 million. Forwards haven't exactly been doing the business, Sam. Should he be on our radar now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with Jesus is he comes at a bit of an awkward price point, because for a lot of FPL managers, we've just spent a whole section there talking about expensive midfielders and expensive defenders. And as a result of that, we've had to find budget and good enablers in the forward positions. And that's worked this season, because the forwards haven't necessarily been returning with the same gusto that they have in years gone by. Now, most managers have Harry Kane. The only route for a lot of managers to get Gabriel Jesus and their team is going to be to sell Kane and downgrade him to Jesus. Now, again, that comes with conflicting problems, doesn't it? Because Harry Kane, yes, hasn't been great on the last couple of weeks, but before that was in really, really nice form and has nice fixtures till the end of the season. And as Vicky said earlier, has a double game week in game week 36. But with Jesus, you have a risk of rotation you don't have with Kane. You have the risk that Man City change their formation and their structures. If you can afford to get to Jesus by selling somebody like Weghorst or a cheaper forward option, then I think he's a great buy till the end of the season. But if you've got to sacrifice a big hitter to bring him in, then I don't think it's going to be worth it.
Okay, well, it's rather timely you've brought that up, Sam, because we do have to have a discussion about Spurs. And Vicky, at this point, I'm very aware, and I'm sure you are, that we've got Mr. Arsenal and Mrs. Spurs with us. Let's discuss their fixtures quickly. It's Leicester this week, a double of Liverpool and Arsenal before Burnley and Norwich. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, you have the Spurs treble up. Are you concerned about their slight dip in form?
So I'm not going to lie. Yes, and I think particularly defensively. So I've got Eric Dier, Son and Harry Kane. I'm sticking with them. Dier more from necessity and lack of transfers and lack of budget. Sorry, Eric, but form is temporary. Class is permanent when it comes to Kane and Son. They've served me well this season. I have faith in them. And in terms of an attacking sense, I do think that they will come good. And you look at the games that they have, I think even the tougher games, when you look at those fixtures, they're going to be exciting games that they're playing against Liverpool, against Arsenal, and they are so capable. I mean, we've just talked about Gabriel Jesus there. You know, Jesus is one of those players that can every now and then pop up and score a hat-trick. I think Harry Kane and Son Heung-min, honestly, every game they start, they have the potential to do that. You know, we've seen that in recent weeks with Son getting his hat-trick. And yes, it's been a bit of a dry patch for them of recent games, but no, I'm not concerned from an attacking sense. I think Eric Dier might be spending a bit of time on my bench though.
Let's talk a little bit more about Harry Kane, because Adrian, he's the second most transferred out player at the time of recording no goals in 5 matches. You sold him last week, and in contrast to Vicky, you don't have any Spurs players. Tell us what the thinking was there.
Very simple, really. I made a conscious effort to shed my squad of Spurs. I can't take
was
any joy.
Was it the Arsenal in you?
Yeah, I can't take any joy from Kane or Son scoring between now and the end of the season. So they've got to go. I need to be 100% focused on being against Conte's
Let me interject
men.
Here. Let's put your neutral hat on. I know you struggle with that, especially as I can see over your shoulder, you've got loads of Arsenal memorabilia. But if you were advising a neutral FPL manager that didn't have any allegiances in North London, what would you be saying?
I don't think I would have sold him if I didn't sort of have any anti-Spurs agenda, because he's excellent. He's outstanding, isn't he? And he's got a brilliant record against Leicester. I think he scored 16 goals. 4 assists in 13 games against the Foxes. That's next up in between Conference League games. So and I don't think Leicester have changed their style to play against him. The Liverpool-Arsenal double up looks tough on paper, but they're two teams that will leave space for him on the counter. I'm sure of that. They won't park the bus. So no, I wouldn't be panicking with Kane or Son. It's a very personal decision for me. I just can't look myself in the mirror and want them to deliver points. So they had to go.
I noticed that Sam is a slightly more impartial FPL manager, at least 2 Arsenal players in her team. But what are your thoughts on Spurs? You watch them at close quarters. Can you understand managers selling? Do they need to be cautious? And do you think maybe that slightly tricky looking double is playing into a lot of managers' decisions to sell?
Yeah, absolutely. I understand it. I think, you know, from a Spurs perspective, obviously, like Adrian, I spend a lot of time watching my beloved Spurs, like he does Arsenal. And I think, you know, you get a different insight into the game when you watch a team that closely. But if I was a neutral, just looking in from the outside at what's been happening in FPL right now, I'd go, he looks like an easy sell. He's not returned a goal in 5 games. He's not performing at the level that you would want for the price tag that you have to pay for him. And at the same time, you know, we've spoken about Kevin De Bruyne. There are other expensive FPL assets that you might want to invest in. So freeing up some money makes a lot of sense. However, the fixtures are really nice from a Harry Kane perspective. When you look back at his record against Leicester, against Liverpool, against Arsenal, these are all teams that he will score against. And then in the last couple of games, we've seen Brighton play a really defensively minded, solid game against Spurs. They knew exactly what they needed to do to block out the Spurs attack. They focused in on Son, didn't give him any space at all, and they compromised the way that they play football to deal with the threat of Spurs and then beat us at the right of the death on the counter, which quite frankly was a stroke of genius from Graham Potter. Then we went into a game against Brentford, who also knew exactly what they needed to do to defeat the Spurs attack. They were solid in what they were doing, and they managed to have a number of golden opportunities against us. Going into the next few games, Leicester will not change their style of play to play against Spurs. I mean, they're not going to be able to around the Europa Conference League. They're going to have enough rotation to worry about there as it is. Liverpool and Arsenal certainly aren't compromising the way that they play football. And that will leave space for the likes of Kane and Son. So sometimes these more difficult fixtures on paper actually are the ones that you need your players to be playing in, because they're the ones that give additional motivation. Both Spurs and Arsenal players, they are the ones that I think you want to invest in from now till the end of the season, because they have something to play for. And having something to play for in the running is absolutely vital from an FPL investment perspective.
Yeah, I can sense the tension between you two from here. A few more stats for you, particularly against Leicester. Son has returned in 5 of his last 6 Premier League meetings with them. Kane averages 9.2 points per match against them. So if you're selling them, you might want to watch that one from behind the sofa. Anyway, while Spurs players may be some of the most owned, we're now going to move on to some of the lesser owned by going shopping for some differentials. This week on Twitter, we asked, with 4 game weeks left, who are the barely owned differentials that will give managers a late push up their mini league? Something, let's be honest, that we all want. Some of the response then, wingback said Connor Roberts, Anthony Gordon and Anthony Elanga. Ian Daz says Dewsbury Hall and Nketiah. Now, we also asked the panel to suggest a differential each so we could discuss them. A reminder, a differential is someone who is usually under 10% owned. Sam, who have you gone with?
So I've sort of put my Spurs hat back on again and gone with Christian Eriksen. He's owned by just 1.5% of the game, and he's a player that I invested in a couple of weeks ago and has returned for me since. When we look at him against Spurs in game week 34, he had 3 goal attempts, which was more than the whole Spurs team combined. And his 4 chances created was also tied top for midfielders across game week 34 so far. So getting in all the right places, having a goal attempt himself, but also creating those chances. He's had 13 goal attempts in the last 6 matches, which is 11th across all midfielders in the game, more than the likes of Mane, Jota, Harvey Barnes, Jared Bowen. Like Vicky was saying about James Ward-Prowse earlier, he's also on set piece duty, taken 12 corners, more than any other midfielder in this period. He's tied top for attempts from set pieces. He's an excellent route to points from various different parts of the pitch. So he can get goals from open play. He's got assists in his locker. He's also got set pieces. I think he could be a really, really nice pick, particularly when you caveat all of this with you've only got to pay 5.6 million for Christian Eriksen. So he's super cheap. Brentford are pushing for a fantastic finish to the season. They're a team that could and maybe should be on the beach, but they just aren't. They're playing till the end of the season. Thomas Frank has done such an incredible job at Brentford. And of course, with Eriksen, he's got something massive himself to play for because his contract with Brentford expires at the end of this season and he's got to find a new club for the remainder of, well, at least for the next few years of his career. So I think he could be a lovely differential pick. If you want to go for anyone else that's level with him for big chances created over the last 6 game weeks, you've got to pay somewhere between 1.2 and 7.7 million more than Eriksen to own them in the midfielder spots. What's not to love?
That was an incredibly convincing argument. That was brilliant. However, Sam, I'm going to throw one thing back at you. Brentford don't have any double game weeks. That is likely to put managers off, isn't it?
I think it will, yes. Because, you know, over the next few weeks, you're going to want to be investing in the players that ideally have as much game time as possible. However, you know, we always overlook single game weekers. And I think in game week 36, yes, you're probably going to bench Christian Eriksen because he's going to be one of those players that doesn't double at a time where 12 teams are. But I think in game week 35, in game weeks 37 and 38, when you've got less teams doubling and 2 single game weeks, he could easily be in your starting 11. He's a great option.
Yeah, and they have got some nice fixtures as well. In 35, it's their trickiest, Manchester United at home. Then 36, season welcome Southampton, Everton away in 37 for Leeds at home in game week 38. Vicky, who are you going to go for with your differential? I hope your pitch is as good as that.
A lot to live up to, and who doesn't love Christian Eriksen? If you were going to opt for a Leeds player this season, Rafinha by far has been the most popular choice, but he's only scored once in his last 8. So let me throw another name in there. If you're looking to switch things up in the forward line and want a relatively cheap option, 6.3 million, that's in form and is only owned by 2.1% of FPL managers, then Rodrigo might be a very good option. 3 goals in his last 5 games. He's got a double game week coming up in 36. Now, the caveat is that the next 3 games are at home to City, away to Arsenal, and at home to Chelsea. But stay with me here. Then home to Brighton, the last home game of the season at Elland Road. As we've discussed, I know Brighton have frustrated teams defensively this season, but I cannot see Leeds not scoring in that one. And then away to Brentford of Christian Eriksen, on the final day. If it's an option that tempts you, I would say maybe leave it for this week, City at home, although, as we've said, there will be rotation. They've got Real Madrid to think about. But then take a chance, bring him in before the double game week with Arsenal and Chelsea. Arsenal, no clean sheet in five. Chelsea with the FA Cup final less than 72 hours later. I think Rodrigo could be a really good bet for the final three game weeks of the season.
Yeah, he's got returns in three of the last five game weeks as well. 6.3 million if you are looking for a forward in that price bracket. Adrian, finally, who have you gone for?
Well, I don't think I've advised anyone to pick an Everton player all season, but there's so much riding on it for them between now and the end of the campaign. And they've got a nice double-double, haven't they? And that includes matches against Watford, Brentford and Palace. And who's the man leading the line at the moment? It's Richarlison, only owned by 5.8% of managers. And his form is good. You look at the form table, he's got 5.4. He's on the first page. He's in the top 20. And I looked across the last three games. He's had 10 efforts on goal. He's missed a few, but getting into the right areas. And I think that those games against Watford, Brentford and Palace will potentially bring in hauls for Richarlison. He's a definite option. Will he get the service? Who knows? But he is a top player, no doubt about that. That there is somebody else that I have in mind that is sort of, well, he's priced the same, and that's Ollie Watkins. 8.3% of managers own him. Not quite as hot on the form book, but over the course of the season, he's had a lot. He's had 10 more shots on target than Richarlison. He's had 18 more shots in the box than Richarlison. He ranks inside the top 10 for that, does Ollie Watkins. And I feel like Villa have a decent run of games, actually. They've got Norwich, of course, at home this weekend. So, yeah, Watkins or Richarlison are two excellent options for me in terms of being a differential. I think Richarlison, if we were talking in a week's time, post-Chelsea, Richarlison would maybe win that battle. But because Watkins has Norwich this weekend, I'm perhaps leaning towards him.
Yeah, you mentioned those Aston Villa fixtures. What's nice about both Aston Villa and Everton is when you look at their fixtures, they've still got so many games to play, both of them doubling in 36 and 37. As you said, Adrian, Aston Villa have Norwich next in 36. Then it's Burnley and Liverpool, mixed double, I think it's safe to say. Then they've got a double at home in 37 against Crystal Palace and Burnley for a tricky trip to Manchester City on the final day. As for Everton, Chelsea this week, as you said, then Leicester and Watford in 36, a double at home in 37 too, with Brentford and Crystal Palace travelling up north before they end the season away at Arsenal. Maybe that's also why you're leaning towards Ollie Watkins. Okay, well, there's some interesting suggestions there. Now let's take stock of some of the specific fixtures awaiting us in game week 35. Game Week 35 gets underway on Saturday at 11 a.m. That's 90 minutes before Newcastle versus Liverpool. So get your team sorted for the deadline then. Four games get underway at 3 p.m. It's Aston Villa versus Norwich, a battle at the bottom. Watford take on Burnley, plus two mid-table affairs, Southampton, Crystal Palace and Wolves entertain Brighton. Leeds versus Manchester City is at 5:30. And don't forget, the reverse fixture finished 7-0 to Pep Guardiola's side. Everton could kick off against Chelsea at 2 p.m. on Sunday, 5 points from safety, while Spurs also entertain Leicester at 2 p.m. Then at 4:30, it's an all-London affair, West Ham welcoming Arsenal. It concludes on Monday nights as Manchester United welcome Brentford. As always, our panel have each picked a fixture and are ready to give us the FPL lowdown. So go on then, Sam, you get us underway with the fixture that gets the weekend underway, Newcastle versus Liverpool.
Yeah, the lunchtime kickoff, Newcastle versus a Liverpool team that have just played Champions League football. It always fills me with a little bit of dread when I own a number of players in the lunchtime kickoff, because you never really know what the lunchtime kickoff is going to throw, especially given that Liverpool have just played 90 minutes in an important Champions League fixture in midweek. Now, when you have a look at Salah's record against Newcastle, because it would seem a miss to start anywhere other than with Salah, he's returned in 6 of his last 7 Premier League starts against Newcastle, in that time accumulating 56 points, an average of 8 points per match for the Egyptian. Now, Jota, he didn't start in the Champions League for Liverpool. He did come on for Mane in the 73rd minute, but that means I expect him to be in the starting 11 against Newcastle at the weekend, because generally speaking, that's how Klopp manages his team in their minutes that they have. The midfielder scored a goal and returned 7 points in the reverse of this fixture earlier on in the season, so has a decent record in recent times against the Toon. But with Liverpool, as I've said, it's a key worry in terms of the FPL community in what will happen this weekend with benching. Liverpool do have a good lead in the Champions League, so maybe there's a little bit less pressure there right now. Plus, they have to secure 3 points in every single Premier League game between now and the end of the season if they want to stand a chance of catching Manchester City and winning the title. So I think that Klopp will go into this game full strength. I don't see rests for key players like Salah, like Trent. So I think you would be safe to put your captain's armband on Salah if you wanted to go that way. When it comes to Newcastle, before Eddie Howe, they had not won in 12 Premier League games. They got just 5 points. Now they've got 43 points. They're ninth in the league. And in that period of time, they've scored 25 goals and kept 7 clean sheets. It's been, quite frankly, an unbelievable turnaround. And in my opinion, Eddie Howe should be up there for manager of the season. He has been phenomenal since he's arrived at Newcastle. We saw some rotation. Unexpected rotation in that Newcastle team in game week 34 with Chris Wood and Fabian Schär rested against Norwich. Not ideal if you own one of those players. I expect Schär to be back in the team for game week 35, but we do have to consider whether we want to be starting our Newcastle defenders this time around. I own Dubravka. I don't think I want to start him against Liverpool because I can't see Liverpool not scoring against them. With Chris Wood, I think it's more of an interesting conversation, actually, because he played St-Maximin, Joe Linton and Murphy up top against Norwich. It worked so well. Joe Linton was probably the best game of football I've ever seen him have against Norwich. I'd be surprised to see him drop back out again. So I think he's going to start. What might happen with Chris Wood remains to be seen. I think you can sell him, say it quietly, because the Newcastle fixtures are actually really challenging. They've got, obviously, Liverpool, followed by City and Arsenal. So about as difficult as it gets in the next couple of games for them. But they've been so good that I wouldn't want to deinvest altogether. But a changeover from Chris Wood probably feels like it should be on the cards.
Okay, well, next up, Everton versus Chelsea. And Adrian, this is huge for Everton, though the majority of interest in this from an FPL point of view will likely be in Thomas Tuchel's side. Of course, at the time of recording, we don't yet know how they fared against Manchester United.
We don't know. Will Reece James be fit and available? We'll have to wait and see. I got stung on that. I was just about to press the button on Marcus Alonso and I had a change of heart and he went and delivered 10 points, didn't he? And James didn't play. So hopefully he can do the biz against United. You've got to fancy Chelsea here. It'll be a hard game because they'll be up against a highly motivated Everton side, of course. Mason Mount is the one. He's the one that sort of got away from my team this year. I did a piece on him for the Premier League this week, sort of analysing his form. Outstanding. 12 direct goal involvements in his last 12 appearances in all competitions. That's one every 78 minutes. 5 goals, 7 assists. I wish I had him. And I put up a table of the most direct goal involvements this season in total. Salah, 35, Son, 23, Kane, 20, Mount, 19, Ronaldo, 19. So he's class. He really is. And I could see him potentially delivering in this game. Werner's an interesting one. I've got him in my side because he was red hot. But yeah, he only ever feels a game away from having a crisis of confidence again, doesn't he, Werner? And is Tuchel going to stick with him? I think that's an important thing to consider. If you want Everton assets, I've already talked about Richarlison. Anthony Gordon's the obvious one. He's their main man, isn't he? We saw that in the Merseyside derby. Very cheap. And this could be the stage for him. And you have to consider the history here as well. They're a bogey team for Chelsea. Everton have won each of their last 3 Premier League home games against Chelsea. Now you'll probably get long odds on them beating Chelsea again, but at the same time, stranger things have happened, haven't they? So maybe you needn't steer too far clear of Everton assets here.
Adrian is becoming a closet Everton fan. That's twice on this podcast he has suggested players from Frank Lampard's side.
I don't know what's going on. Well, I don't. This wasn't supposed to happen, but yeah, it's just the way it's fallen.
I like the fact he's sold the Spurs players for these guys as well.
Yeah, we'll see how that one goes over the final few weeks. But as I said before, Adrian, they've got plenty of fixtures to get points in, haven't they? Well, Vicky, you've looked at the penultimate fixture of the weekend, and this is a game between two teams with very different priorities, West Ham versus Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for FPL managers who've had West Ham players, I've had Antonio and Bowen for a long time now, this is the stage of the season where you start thinking, Europa League semi-finals. We saw the first real rotation from David Moyes, didn't we, in their last match against Chelsea. Antonio and Bowen both given a rest. I've already decided to ditch Antonio this week for Emmanuel Dennis. That's going to be my transfer. And key, no double game weeks coming up for West Ham before the end of the season either. When it comes to Bowen, I think long-term, as in the last four game weeks, he's just so good and he can still just do something whenever he's on the pitch. I'm holding on to him for now, but he might end up on my bench. You've also got to take into consideration if you've got any West Ham defenders that are fit in your fancy Premier League team. You know, Craig Dawson suspended. They're really struggling for centre-halves. And Arsenal, of course, have nothing else to worry about but top four, and they will go for it. I think the one thing for West Ham, and I still wouldn't put West Ham defenders in for this, but if you're thinking about bringing in Arsenal attackers, I think West Ham would be very happy with a point here. They're in the middle. They will be in the middle of a huge semi-final tie for them. They'll still want to secure top seven in the Premier League. What helps both of those objectives? Putting in a defensive display, conserving as much energy as possible and coming away with a point. Now, whether they can do that is another matter. And I think, notwithstanding that approach from West Ham that I think we might see, you've got to look at Arsenal here. I mean, the big dilemma, of course, is Bukayo Saka. Definitely wait for the Arsenal team news to drop because of this injury question around him. I was going to swap him in for Martinelli in game week 36, but I'm going to wait and see now. I love Martinelli. He's a good differential as well, but Saka just seems to be hitting form again at the right time, taking penalties as well, with Lacazette not playing at the moment and having scored two penalties in his last two games. I can't see that changing, even if Lacazette happens to get back on the pitch. The other question as well is Eddie Nketiah, 5.5, didn't score against Manchester United, but is he first choice now definitively for the rest of the season ahead of Lacazette? And I think this is a tough one because we don't know what the exact situation is behind the scenes between Arsenal and Lacazette and Nketiah as well for that matter, because both players are out of contract in the summer and both have been expected by many to leave for some time. So this is all very dependent selection-wise on the mindset of Arteta. If Nketiah leaves, it'll be down to game time. Does Arteta attempt to address that by giving him game time between now and the end of the season? If Lacazette is as good as gone, do you draw a line under that? Or do you say Lacazette is a player that could still bring his experience for what is a crucial stage of the season and give him some minutes? Because he had been playing regularly before picking up COVID and now being kept out of the side by Nketiah. Overall, I think it's Nketiah's place to lose right now. But if the goals don't come, that could easily change. Because having said all of that about contracts, Arteta's biggest priority, of course, is to get into the top four. And if you're not contributing, you'll be out of the team.
Let's bring in Mr. Arsenal then, because he was nodding along to a lot of that. Where do you stand on the Eddie Nketiah, Alexander Lacazette conundrum?
Oh, it is a conundrum. I think Vicky was right. It's his place to lose. I think he's done enough across the last two games against Chelsea and Manchester United to keep his spot. To be honest, he had five shots on goal at Chelsea, scored twice. He had a couple of big chances in the Manchester United game and he held the ball up really, really well. So I think he'll start against West Ham, but will he start every game between now and the end of the season? I'm not as convinced about that. But he's cheap, isn't he? 5.5, you can afford maybe to have him in your squad potentially. I wouldn't like to say. I think he'll play this weekend, but maybe not beyond. The other one, and I'm not a fan of Nuno Tavares. I have to sort of disclaimer here. There's a lot about him that concerns me. But Arsenal don't have another left back at the moment, and he does bring an element of balance to the team. He did score against Man United, and he's only £4.3 million. So that he is an option. But I'm not going to take it. But if anyone's interested in Arsenal players, and to free up cash Tavares could be one to bring in, same as Nick and Ketia.
Do you think there's a risk that Arteta might put Xhaka back there again?
No. I think that was a one game mistake from Mikel Arteta. It's Xhaka. You've seen the value of Granit Xhaka in central midfield in the last couple of games. Mm. There's no way he's moving back to left back. So the only other option is that you could put Cedric there or Tomiyasu, who's fit again, but that might unbalance the team. So I kind of think Tavares is in pole position to play. And that worries me a little bit. But look, it's worked the last couple of games.
We've had some convincing arguments on this podcast, but I've got to be honest, that wasn't one of them. 4.3 million if you have been somehow persuaded by Adrian there. Well, hopefully that helps when picking players for this game week. It's now time to see which of their own advice the panel has taken and if Adrian has brought in Nuno Tavares. Okay, transfers and captains. Let's start with what you've done with your teams. Vicky, you've already given away your transfer, so confirming you're going to bring in Emmanuel Dennis, is that right?
Yeah, pending team news, but yes, if there are no surprises, Emmanuel Dennis in for Antonio, Watford at home to Burnley this week, then double game week against Crystal Palace and Everton, goal and an assist in his last two games. And again, it's that stage of the season. They've got so much to play for. And I've had him in and out of the team this season. I've had kind of one striker position that I've been rotating around various players. And Emmanuel Dennis has done pretty well. I think he's hitting form again, and the fixtures are important and they're good fixtures. So yeah, in Frantonio, we've discussed why in terms of West Ham, I think it's time to get rid of some of your West Ham assets if you still have them.
I love your faith in Watford. Before the last two game weeks, Vicky, I just want to warn you that he hadn't actually returned since game week 26 against Aston Villa. That, particularly for me, feels a very long time ago. Let's move on. Sam, what are your plans with your team?
Well, I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on the Arsenal press conferences because I've got Saka in my team. And if Saka isn't available, then maybe the time has come to part company with the Arsenal midfielder. But I'm reluctant to do that because I do think if Arsenal score goals, which they inevitably will over the next few weeks as they try to secure the top four, that he will be a key part of those goals and a key part of the FPL points. So it will be, if he's ruled completely out, that I would sell him. Under no circumstances would I get rid of him otherwise. But I think I might be really boring this time around. I've got two goalkeepers who I don't really fancy over the next few weeks. I've got Ramsdale at Arsenal, who just aren't keeping the clean sheets at the moment. Although they're winning games, there's not enough clean sheets there for me to keep him. And I've got Dubravka, who's now going into a really difficult run of fixtures against Liverpool and Arsenal and City. So maybe there's a case for changing the goalkeepers up at that point. Plus, they also still have Tino Livramento, who's now been ruled out for the rest of the year. I don't have my bench boost chip anymore. I've played that. So it's not essential that I deal with him. But maybe there's a case for moving some defensive players around too. And of course, I'll be keeping a close eye on Reece James and his availability because he's a little bit of a frustration. So I haven't really decided is the long and the short answer to your question, Kelly. But it will be based upon what Arteta says. If Arteta rules Saka fit, then likely I'll do a goalkeeper change this week.
Okay, Adrian, what about you? What are the plans?
Antonio's going for the reasons that Vicky outlined. He's been clinging on for dear life for a few
weeks.
Really.
You've done well. I think it's two goals in 24 now.
I was going to say goals in 24. We should have made this change a long time ago. 100%.
Yeah. So I talked earlier, didn't I, about the differentials of Richarlison and Watkins. Now, I'm likely to maybe bring Richarlison in next week for Werner, who was a differential choice. But for this week, it's Watkins for Antonio. And I might partner him with our Brazilian boy at Goodison in a week's time.
I was going to say, I'll be disappointed if I don't look at your team and see at least one Everton player and potentially Nuno Tavares. I'm going to be keeping
a
close
eye. I'm sorry. Full disclosure, it's not happening.
Okay, captaincy then. Is it as simple as Mo Salah? It's one of those, isn't it, where your weekend can be completely made if he returns big in that early kickoff against Newcastle. Equally, if he doesn't, it's a very long weekend. Who are you going with, Sam?
I'm not going with Salah. I think the early kickoff really puts me off, particularly after he played 90 minutes in the Champions League. Although I do think he'll play well and I do think he'll return. I am going to trust my captain's armband to the one player that I trust and love more than any other in the Premier League. And of course, that's Harry Kane. He's returned in 7 of his last 8 Premier League starts against Leicester. And in those matches, he's returned 86 points and averaged 12.2 points per match. If he starts, which he's going to because Spurs don't have any other competitions left to play in, he will likely return. And I want to be on the good side of the Harry Kane captaincy points this time around. So Kane for me.
In terms of silly questions I've asked, asking you if you're going to captain Mo Salah when Harry Kane's playing Leicester, that's probably up there. It's one of my most silly ones of the season. So I'm going to play it straight with you, Vicky. Who's the armband going to?
The same as Sam, it's Harry Kane for the reason she's mentioned, and also because Leicester have a real weakness at set pieces, which is just another reason to make Kane captain. And he's why, for me, I'm going to edge him potentially ahead of Son as well. It's so difficult, isn't it? You know, you captain Kane and Son gets a hat trick, you captain Son and Kane gets a hat trick. What a sad dilemma to have when you have both of them in your team. But again, with no double game week for any of the teams this week, you've got to have faith in your big hitters. And for me, it's Kane.
Adrian's looking fearful. No Harry
He's
Kane.
He's got no Spurs. Who are you going with? It now, Kelly. Look at him. Regretting it now.
No, it's good. It's bound to hurt me. It's bound to hurt me. But I just can't do it. I can't. It's the business end of the season. It feels dirty to have a Spurs player in my team. It's just the way it is. On my armband, I can't have Kane, clearly. I'm going Jota because I've got Salah as well. But I think Jota is nailed on to start after being sub in midweek. 2 goals and an assist in his last 4 Premier League outings. He's got 15 this season. And you look at the expected goals per 90 minutes, he's second in the Premier League to Mo Salah. Diogo Jota always gets chances and he's a pretty lethal finisher. So, yeah, it's a slightly differential captain's choice. I go with Jota.
You're the best of luck watching Spurs versus Leicester as well. That's where we'll leave it this week on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's been a pleasure, as always, to have your company. And my thanks go to Vicky, Sam and Adrian for joining me too. A little reminder to check out fantasy.premierleague.com if you're still undecided on those transfers. Have a great week. And remember, we'll be back again next Thursday.